Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is The Calming of the Storm, Mark 4, 35 through 41, just read, and I'll quote it as we go. Verse 35, Jesus said, "Let us cross over to the other side." So you follow him, and where does that get you? Into a storm? Well, actually, it gets you through a storm, but you don't get through it without first being in it. And we had as well know that following Jesus is not always going to be clear sailing. Hebrews says you need endurance. First, because it's a fallen world. As I've said before, sin hit this planet like an earthquake, and people are broken, and nature's broken too. The world is a condemned building with girders down, floors off, level, fallen sheetrock, broken glass, and Christ didn't come to repair it. He came to get us out before the whole thing collapses. And sometimes that means running down passages after him with storms of ceiling tiles raining on our heads. Can I get a witness? Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation, but buck up, this way out. And even besides the things that everybody goes through in a fallen world, there'll also be storms because we're following Jesus, because we're with Christ. We struggle against the spiritual forces of evil. Satan attacks our souls, our bodies, our families, our finances, either through wicked people or through his own magic tricks. So here we are, climbing over sheetrock and ducking falling tiles while Satan and his servants shoot at us. I hope you like action movies, because you're in one. Only it's real. I mean to say that you really get hurt. St. John tells every new believer, welcome to the suffering and to the kingdom and to the patient endurance that are ours in Jesus. By the by, we have got to have daily devotions, or we will never have the endurance that we need to get through storms without hysterics and to stay with Jesus all the way to the other side. There have been times when I've told him, Lord, I just can't take it, and he's answered, I'm not surprised. Read and pray. Read and pray. Read and pray. Read and pray. On the other hand, sometimes all the devotions in the world won't help us through bad weather, because that particular bit of bad weather is one bit that he never intended us to get into. Sometimes we say, Lord, how could you lead me into this? And he says, I didn't. You went your own way. The end thereof is destruction, and he won't help us go that route. He won't assist our suicide. If we go our own way, we're on our own. But Christians have prayed things like, oh, Lord, I know what you say about money, but I've got my own way. I spend and I waste and I offer you just about nothing while I live beyond my means. Lord, save my bacon. Amen. He won't. He won't aid and abet sinning. Or, Lord, I hear what you say about marriage or sex or work or kids. I hear you calling this way, but you know I'm going my way. Lord, don't make waves. Don't make waves. We haven't seen waves. And there'll be no forgiveness, no Holy Spirit, no help of any kind until we stop the boat and turn it around. It's called repenting, and it can be hard, but it beats drowning. And the instant that we do, the Lord Jesus comes to us walking on the water. He doesn't wait for us to reach him. He comes right where we are. He knows that it's only his grace that made us turn around at all. And he gets into our boat, and we shall reach the shore. But not without passing through other foul weather on the way. Look at the disciples. They were going his way when that wind started rising. He's the one who said, let's cross over. They were just trying to trust and obey is all. And it's not like they were all geared up for trouble. That kind of courage came later. At that point, they were still expecting nice rides all the time. So it's not like they said, "Yea, Lord, and even into wind and waves shall we follow thee." They didn't see that storm coming. But Christ knew the forecast when they launched out, and it worried him so much that he stretched out, verse 38, on a cushion in the stern and took a nap. And for a while, oh, that nighttime sail. Unbelievers can't imagine what that was like, but you guys can. Because when we're with Jesus, he's not always climbing over girders and dodging bullets. Sometimes it really is just sailing with him at ease and you at ease in the breeze under the stars, quiet water, slapping the side of the boat, the creeping of the ropes, the moonlight on the sea. Sometimes, even in this world, we are just sailing. Can I get a witness on that? Isn't it? It's wonderful. Then, verse 37, a furious windstorm came up. The waves were breaking over the boat so that it was being swamped, but Jesus was still asleep. The disciples went and waked him. "Master," they said, "we're drowning. Don't you care?" In that one sentence, we have three different ways to make things worse. Yeah. First, if the "we" in "we're drowning" includes Jesus, then it means, "This is it, Lord. You and us, we're going down now. That okay with you? Wake up!" Which is how the disciples meant it, and it's just panicked and weak faith and no help at all. You want that storm with panic or without? Yeah, panic's worse. The second way to make things worse is where the "we" in "we're drowning" doesn't include Jesus. And then it means, "Sure, you're all right, you're Christ. But the rest of us, we're drowning here, don't you care?" I am so very sorry that I ever talked to him like that. If he didn't care, we wouldn't even know his name. If he didn't care, he would have stayed in heaven. Let us all go down. The journey is hard enough without me turning on the hero in the middle of it. Just makes it worse. The third way to make things worse is to use a gift of prophecy that we haven't got. That's like those disciples. If those disciples had said, "We're getting swamped," that would have been accurate. Instead, they said, "We're drowning," but they weren't. Not yet. They weren't even out of the boat yet. But I think we can sympathize, because so often we know the future too. We get sick or out of work, which is bad enough. But on top of it, we know it shall never get better, nor shall this be for the glory of God. We just know it. Or we sin, which is plenty bad enough. But on top of it, we know that this time there shall be no clean slate. From now on, sin is all we'll ever do, for we just know it. There's a help. In fact, the disciples weren't drowning. What they were was wet. Yeah. And many a time we've said, "I'm drowning," when the truth was, "I'm wet." Yeah. There is one prophet in our boat. It's Christ the Lord, and he actually does know the future. While the waves are breaking, Jesus says our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all. If you can believe that, can you? Can we trust him? Look at him in the storm. The waves were crashing around, so were the disciples. The wind was howling, so were the disciples. But St. Luke tells us Jesus didn't leap to his feet right away. It's better than that. First, he lay there, and he looked up and he said, "Oh, little faiths, oh, faithlings," Pastor Don says, "oh, faithettes, why are you scared?" And the disciples are all, "Why are we scared? This storm is real." The Lord says, "Yes, it is. So am I." And some people say that that storm was the result of vast global weather patterns. Some people say that that storm was a supernatural demonic attack. Jesus says, 6:01. Verse 39. Then he got up and rebuked the wind and told the waves, "Hush, be still." He told the storm to stop. I said, he told. He told the storm to stop. Hush, be still, is actually Greek slang. It's what you tell your dog when he's barking at the garbage truck. Again. As if what? As if the sea's his dog, you know? As if the atmosphere was his pet? All I know is the wind stopped and there was a total calm. 1 second, nature's wild. Jesus stands up in the wind and he says, enough. And the wind goes, oh. And the sea's calm as glass. Verse 40. Then he asked his disciples, why are you so frightened? Where's your trust? Don't you have any yet? But they didn't say a word because they weren't scared anymore. Verse 41, they were terrified. And they asked each other, who is he? The wind and the waves are obeying him. What have we got in this boat? Guys, what do we got in our boat? We've got the Lord God Almighty who saw us all going down in a storm of sin and death and said, I'd give my life to be in their boat. It came down into our boat with all of us, where the wind blows and waves crash, girders fall, bullets fly, through everything we've ever gone through in this fallen world and through things we're never going to go through. Praise him. We wanted our own way that leads to destruction. So he took our way for us all the way to the shrieking end. Through things we are never going to experience. By myself, I swear, says the Lord, things you're never going to know. And I don't care what storms he's led me through. It wasn't me who was nailed to the cross like a ripped sail, shuddering in the wind of God's fury. That was Jesus shuddering, not me. And however scared you've been, it wasn't you who choked and drowned and died on all the sins of your life. That was Jesus choking on our sins and dying, not us. Why? Jesus says, better me than you. As I say, he's the hero. When it came to the ultimate storm, God's wrath and judgment, we haven't seen waves. Because Jesus saved the worst storm for himself and he went through it all alone. He said, you can't come with me now. As if to say, you stay in the boat. This one's mine. And then he slipped over the side into the maelstrom. I don't care how many times we thought, this was it, we're going down. It wasn't us who struggled and drowned in the howling deeps of damnation. That was Jesus. That was Jesus. That was Jesus. Not us. And now he's back like Jonah, back from the deeps. Christ is risen. The Lord God's back with us. The heroes in our boat with us, as if we had never panicked, as if all are doubting him, defying him, turning on him too, as if we were all drowned with him and gone. It is. He showed them his hands and his side, and he said, peace. As if he's so cool, and we're so cool, as if we'd gone to death with him and come back with him too, as if we'd been drowned with him and raised up new. To sail away with him, we have. Baptized is a big, big word. Baptized into Christ, who's going to sail us with him out to heaven. And whatever hits on the way, weather is only weather. But Christ is Christ. And he didn't say, let's try to make it over. He didn't say, let's attempt a crossing. He said, let's cross over to the other side. Amen.